know those numbers, B.
Of course.
Reminds me of that Hawaiian guy that, what he used to, do you remember the guy who would play the ukulele and then he would sing like, Aloha.
Whatever. Oh, the guy who sang the Over the Rainbow song?
Yes.
Who was like 600 pounds?
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's had that sort of tone to it.
It has a little bit of that. It almost reminds me of like the Margaritaville mix of Danish and O'Neill, the outro. It's actually the outro, but it's so nice, so relaxing. Gets into a nice, easy.
It is a real Jimmy Buffett flair to it.
It's nice, easy listening from Beardo down the land down under.
Beardo's really been on it. He's been popping up a lot lately our side, really defending us.
I want to hear, see Beardo and Pepper get together for a Sgt. Pepper's remix. Pepper's been quiet. He had that one hit. And
I like his style, though. He goes back to the Beat Lab.
That's true.
That's what he does.
He could be, who knows what he's up to. Check out our Patreon if you haven't checked it out. It's Danish and O'Neill Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
There's good stuff going on there, fight content and other good stuff.
Subscribe to the podcast as well.
I saw Wade hit me up on Twitter. He's having some bad D&O karma because he's the guy who got rear-ended listening to the show. Since then, he's gotten rear-ended twice.
Wait, and two more times?
And one was a hit and run. Wade, we may have to say a quick prayer for you.
You know what, though? Here's my theory on it. The people that hit him were listening to D&O.
That's true. You may want to move areas. He could be in Buffalo. There's a big contingency in Buffalo.
They get together every Sunday.
That's true. Wow. Wade, stay safe out there on the roads. You may want to...
Shit, dude. What's it? But here, Wade.
You may want to take the bus.
Here's a positive side to this. What are the chances you're going to get hit again now for like the next 20 years?
Yeah, it's true.
I think you got a lot of these out of the way.
It's like jury duty. They legally can't hit you anymore. And sorry about that hit and run. That sucks. Hopefully they catch the person who did it.
Or maybe hopefully he catches them.
That's true, too.
Then takes him to his basement, keeps him there for a few months, lets him pay.
Someone on Twitter, I forget who it was, sorry, suggested that maybe you look into some Bill Dillman chi-ball techniques for this fight.
You don't think that's what I'm training taekwondo and Dillman chi-balls. That's the only thing I'm studying for this fight.
Well, I heard, I saw... last night, I had the privilege of meeting some Gomites, which are the Luis Gomez fans online. I had the privilege of talking to some of these good people.
Yeah.
They're enthused for the fight. They told me
Seems like a lot of people enjoy it. A lot of people throwing a lot of slurs out there at me.
They said they love the Danish and O'Neill show, and they said it's hard to pick between, but they seem to be favoring Luis. But it was good to meet them. Good to interact. They seem. But I saw that you said you just got back from your Taekwondo Family Center banquet.
Yep, it was good. I got a trophy for best sparring for the month of May.
Congratulations!
And, yeah, thank you. Point so sparring, that is. You know.
So it sounds like things are on track with the training. Obviously, you don't want to give away too many.
No, I don't want to give too many secrets away. But let's just say, yeah, I'm competing at a high point sparring level right now.
Wow. So the Taekwondo, it seems like it's never been better.
I did have a training mishap this week.
It was
an interesting one. So I was throwing I was looking for a spot to throw the medicine ball around, like just a brick wall. So I went up to Griffith Park, like a few blocks from my house, and I walked. So I parked along. You know, they can park along. They have like a street that goes through Griffith Park.
Yeah.
So I park and I walk up this hill and I find this kind of old building that doesn't seem to be used for anything. So I start tossing the medicine ball and it's bouncing back and I'm catching it. But then I start getting tired and the ball's getting dirty because sometimes it's bouncing in the dirt, so it's getting a little slick. So I throw it one last time and I miss the ball and it starts starts rolling downhill.
It's a big hill.
Yeah, so I start chasing after it.
Which is good training, by the way.
But this
Rocky
ball...
Rocky trains chickens, you chase medicine balls.
This is a 15-pounder.
Yeah.
And so it starts picking up a tremendous amount of speed, and I can't catch it. And now it's heading for the parked cars on the street.
Ooh.
And this thing is now like a fucking cannonball. And there's nothing I can do here.
It's like
so
a game of bowling.
I'm deciding whether I should... just fess up to it or just run into the bushes and hide because there's a car that's parked right in the middle where this thing's heading. So
nice car or not?
It's like a newer,
not
like
that
a,
it matters, but
it's like a newer Chevy Cruze or
like
something.
If someone had a beater, they may, you know, be a little more lenient.
No, this was like a
nice new Tesla.
This was in the past like 3 or 4 years. this yeah. car had been manufactured.
So they're not going to love this.
So it grazes a pole as soon as it enters the street, which sends it slightly off course. And what happens is it hits this guy's front wheel. I didn't realize, though, but the guy was sleeping inside there.
Oh.
He fucking, first of all, his car just fucking, you could see it shake.
Tipped over?
Dude, if it had hit the door, it would have fucking destroyed that door.
I was hoping it hit some sort of something that sent it airborne into the windshield.
Oh, dude, it would have killed the guy if it had fucking gone in there. So it hits this front wheel. And dude, this guy springs up. The problem is the ball now bounces off and then it keeps going down the street, so he doesn't know what the fuck happened. So he's looking around and I'm across the street. I just casually start walking.
You think down. He lives in his car or he just was taking a nap or
a lot of people go to Griffith Park to take these naps.
What, like so. Like during work, or he's just pretending like he got fired and he's like, honey, I'm going to work, and he goes to Griffith Park and
he
sleeps.
May have been like a pedophile who was punching out for a little rest.
School's in session. I'm gonna go hang out at the park, see if I can get any young kids who aren't in school yet.
Wait for the kids to show up.
Which, sorry to tangent you, but summer must really be the pedophile's heaven when the kids get out and every day is an adventure out there.
That's true. I feel like pedophiles in winter in the Midwest and the East Coast probably go to Florida.
Yeah, they're like, the kids are on vacation down here. Can get some, like, Europeans, maybe.
Old Jewish people go down there and pedophiles, which explains a lot of why how weird it is.
And then they go back for the summer, and they're like, oh, yeah,
oh, look at these kids. You did that on purpose.
These kids are tan, they're lean, they're looking good.
So then this guy can't figure out what the fuck's going on. I try to walk it off casually. Next thing you know, but the ball's still going now. And so now it's headed for this fucking, because it's outside the Greek Theater in Griffith Park.
Yeah.
And so it hits a fucking tour bus.
Whoa.
And it made a loud noise, but I go in.
The tour bus was driving or parked?
Parked. I look in, no driver. It appears to be nobody in there. But now it's wedged underneath the vehicle, so I have to crawl underneath this fucking thing. Now I think people think that I'm a terrorist. They may be planting a bomb on some sort of a bus. But finally, I get out, and I get the fuck out of there.
You may want to put this thing on like a leash or something to your ankle.
Oh, tether it like a surfboard.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I probably ripped my fucking leg off.
Well, that's an extra workout. But you're not going to have to chase it and wake up pedophiles and ruin a tour.
Like put it on a leash like a Skip It. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like a ball and chain almost around your ankle.
I think what I'm going to do is just not go to that area that has a hill.
That's a good point, too. Maybe work out where it's you're at the bottom of a hill.
There were two homeless guys grilling hot dogs.
That's good.
In an outdoor grilling station, and they looked at me like, what the fuck is going on here?
Wonder how old those dogs are.
Well, I'm sure they're pretty old. But, so I'm just glad that if it had hit that door, it would have fucking, 15 pounds going, what, 25, 30 miles? I didn't have my radar gun out, but it
sounds
always
like
had some speed to
it. Sounds like a word problem. How much damage can a medicine ball going downhill at 28 miles per hour towards a car that's parked?
Guy would have thought he was in a Civil War reenactment.
That guy may have been doing something like weird, like looking at like some sort of illegal porn, and it really startled him. Like he thought it was a cop.
Jerking it or something.
He thought it was a cop knocking on the window, and he's like, oh, shit. He scared the fuck out of me.
What I wonder, though, is does this guy have... I'm sure he didn't figure out what it was. Is to this day, is he like thinking like, what the fuck hit my car and shook
it? He may be going to like shamans and trying to figure out. He thinks he's haunted. Maybe that's what happened to Wade. Maybe he wasn't rear-ended. Maybe it was a medicine ball to the tailpipe.
It wasn't a hit and run?
No, it was just a medicine ball.
Hit and medicine ball and rolled away.
I have an update on the graffiti in my neighborhood. I talked about it a few episodes back.
Yeah.
There's a graffiti problem. And somebody hit us up, I believe.
It seems like it's just that one wall.
Yeah. Well, there are certain areas. Courtney made a good point. They seem to like corners to claim the whole area.
Why don't you start claiming this neighborhood?
I might get my name out there. But
why don't you claim it for the DNO podcast?
That's true. We have a listener named Mike, and his avatar, I think, is like his tag, but it's like cool. It's like bright colors.
Yeah.
Like these guys are doing black.
Horse shit.
And it looks like something you would like write on a chalkboard. It's like numbers and letters.
What is it?
I don't know what code it is. I think it's gang code or something.
What do those guys, other gang members, show up? Do they have like a piece of paper that they can decipher? Do they have a ring?
They send
like a
you a decoder ring? Yeah, they send you the chocolate milk decoder ring.
The MS-13 decoder ring?
Yeah, they're like, put it up to the thing and turn it 5 times and you'll be able to read what I wrote to
We've
you.
We've got an A. Okay, there's a 1 there. That's
Is that a 1 or a 7? So it's usually the same guy's tag. I'm not going to say it out loud. This guy could be a fucking most wanted criminal in the world. Who knows? I don't think he is.
It's true.
So Courtney was walking baby Barb, and during the day, I want to say like 2 p.m. or something. I don't know the time, but and we always like we know this guy's tag and it's all over the place. And all of a sudden, she sees like a fucking just like an average car pull up. The guy gets out. She's like, this guy's like middle aged. He gets out, does that tag on like a fence. He blocks.
Oh wait, she saw the guy.
She witnessed it. He blocks her path with the baby stroller, and she just
is she worried at all?
I was like, were you worried that you did like made eye contact? And she's like, no, he just seemed like a normal like I don't know.
What was he driving?
Should I say the car type?
Yeah,
it was like a Nissan.
Okay,
said like an average,
just not like your typical tagging car.
No, not what you'd expect. She said like a fairly older guy, like you would expect like a young teenager.
What?
And he got out, he blocked her path, didn't say anything to her, but she just had to sit there and wait while he did it. And then he did it, and then he got back in his car and he left.
She should go to a police sketch artist and have him sketched out.
I don't know, like, why is he driving? Is it like it's almost like a paper route.
Dude, he's probably lazy. He probably lives like 2 blocks away.
It's almost like it's a compulsion for this guy. He has to keep, because it's all the same areas. Well,
he's competing with the other guy with the compulsion that keeps fucking covering it up.
Well, then the other day, someone did, it wasn't this guy, but it's always this like these numbers and letters. It looks horrible. And he did it in big black letters on that same big wall. It was covered up by the next morning.
Dude, I mean, it could be some sort of like ISIS code.
I have no idea.
There could be a cell in your fucking neighborhood.
Although there's a sad situation because that wall is ground level. And even if they go a little high, I think this person probably whips out a mini ladder and they go over it. But somebody climbed up. There's a wall above that wall that's very high. And they had to, you have to climb a fence and then go up high on top of the other wall. Somebody went up there and whoever covers it can't get up there. And it's there to stay. They found the weakness.
It's a loophole. They found it.
They found the weak spot.
And they took advantage of it.
And they're exploiting it.
Is that wall good for throwing a medicine ball?
Pretty good, I think.
Maybe I'll make that my spot.
You may have to watch out for the middle-aged man who tags the neighborhood.
It'll be a warm-up fight.
What age do you retire from tagging? Like,
dude, I don't think you ever do.
This guy is like, this guy's going broad daylight tagging? What the fuck is this guy doing?
You know what, though? Maybe he loved it as a kid, that he got married, had kids and shit, and maybe now he's like, I want to go back to it.
But he's
I want to relive my youth.
If you're doing like cool-looking graffiti, like this is just like fucking basic. Like I could do what he's doing.
Dude, this guy might be a fucking fed narc.
I don't know what he is. I told Courtney to lay low, I probably should.
Next time you see him, you go the other way.
I'm gonna snap a picture of him.
Jesus, don't do that.
I'm kidding.
Well, yeah.
So there's that. We have that going.
But
for
I think
us.
I think this is going deeper because I've never heard of code.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. If anyone out there has any insight into this, please let me know.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be talking about deals going down.
I'm not sure. Yeah, or if you put it up, it means like the block is free or something.
They're
going to
think you're a cop.
Maybe. I was also in Trader Joe's, and I never knew they had a intercom system because they always do the bells for communication.
They have an intercom system? And they always just yell.
Oh, they yell and they hit the bells.
Yeah.
The one bell is something, two bells is
something.
I've
also heard them be like, yeah, hey.
So I'm in there and all of a sudden someone gets on the loudspeaker, which startled me because I had no clue they had a loudspeaker. It's fucking weird. And then one of the more embarrassing things I've seen in a long time took place in this Trader Joe's. This lady... They have like that little like raise. It's almost like a stage. It's not, but it's like that little booth.
We're little
area.
Managers.
But it's like very small.
The manager corner.
It's like the manager corral. It's like a cage and they're all in it. And this lady's like, customers and Trader Joe's staff may have your attention. We have an announcement. And I was like,
this isn't going to be good.
No.
Dude, there's never been a non-embarrassing announcement over a loudspeaker when someone says that they need everybody's attention.
And so this woman's like, my mini-me, Omar, is leaving. And like people start clapping and all the shoppers are like,
wait,
what is happening?
My mini-me?
Yeah, Omar is leaving. And everyone, the employees clap. And I'm like, what? Why is that?
And customers?
No, the customers are just like, what? Like, this is really happening?
Where's he going?
And so I don't know yet. So then all of a sudden, so that's not bad enough. This woman starts, na, 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 na.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
What is this, a Southwest flight? Jesus Christ.
And if I thought that would like, that was it. And she's like, hey, hey. Like, and she's singing it like, no. She, like, it's like her time to shine.
Like really? Yeah. Like, this is American Idol audition?
Belting it out and, like, looking at the other employees, who most of which don't want to join, but some do.
Some get in on
it? Oh, some get in on the
like
song.
Like, sharing the mic?
No, it's just singing the song, oh. Singing aloud. At the red. Oh. The whole store stops. People are, like, trying to be rung up, and they're just stopped.
I'd be like, dude, fucking keep bringing me up.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Omar. And Omar is, like, standing there awkwardly, like, looking on.
Is Omar's not into it?
He seemed like, but you know who wants this at their job? You know,
like, dude, it's Trader Joe's. Some of these people have been brainwashed to believe that this is acceptable behavior.
They wheel out a cake.
No, they don't.
I swear to God.
Shut the fuck
I
up.
I swear.
Dude, no, they don't.
I'm assuming it's the end of his shift. Like, what if it was the beginning and he has to go back to work? So then the song goes on for like, I swear to God, like 2 minutes, like way too long. Way too long. This lady's going like versus.
Are other people making eye contact with you? Like, this is terrible.
I was looking down because I was so embarrassed for everybody involved. And so then the last thing is really what got me. She goes, good luck. He's going to the Fox Hills location, which it's not even far from where we were. I was like, I thought this guy was like joining
Culver City.
I thought he was joining the Marines. This guy's just getting a transfer. And this is the fucking send off.
Oh my God.
Other people were like, I saw somebody go, what is happening? They're like, Omar's leaving. I'm like, none of us know Omar.
Dude, people don't want this in their businesses.
No.
It's because of that that I would probably not even go back to that store.
And it's bad enough that there's like now four or five solicitors like from different causes out in front of this one place.
I love when they make you feel like such an asshole. They're like, do you believe that children should be bought and sold? And
you're like, no, but I don't really have the time.
I don't want to talk to you and sign anything you fucking have.
And then they give you the have a nice day, like to make you feel like shit. Like hope everything's good for you. And you're like, I got to go, man.
It's not going to be good for these children today.
I told a homeless woman, there were two of them, and they were bickering on the side of the highway. It was at the exit. And the lady said, do you have any money or something? And I said, no, sorry. She said, don't be sorry. Just say no. I was like, okay.
Getting real attitude.
I was like, okay. Like, is it either way? Like, you're not getting money, so it's like it doesn't change the answer.
It's fucking, dude. I do blame Southwest for this.
The people have taken liberties on the intercoms.
Abby just went to Fresno. She takes the train up there now because she loves it, and she said that the conductor
is doing some stand up.
He's riffing. Like on shit, making jokes on that. She's like, it's not scripted, you could tell, but he's like improvising and trying to make jokes on the fucking mic
What's a sample?
I was asking. She goes, I can't even tell you. It was like, it was how he was doing it and like how he was trying to jazz up the information he had to give.
You guys check out the caboose. Oh yeah,
looking it's nice. A big one.
It's looking nice today.
Get in there.
Maybe you want to look.
It
at
was.
The...
I think it was shit like that. But she then on the way back, same thing.
Did she get the same guy?
She loved it though. She was like, I'm fascinated by it because it's so bizarre.
Maybe that Trader Joe's lady came off the Amtrak system.
Maybe this Amtrak did it with the Southwest people. All this.
Fucking.
I don't like attempts at comedy. I don't like watching comedy, period.
But it wasn't even like she was going for comedy. It was just like she was doing like
that's even worse,
I guess. Touching tribute. It was very awkward. Because it's like, and then they're taking pictures by the cake. It was like, and the store was stopped for like this whole time.
I always hate when there's too much work pride. And like people leaving and go, I mean, I get it if somebody's been there 30 years. You know what? Even then, you're like, all right, take care.
Well, then some guy at the register who you could tell probably wasn't very tight with Omar is like, Omar, can I get some of that cake? And he's like, yeah, I don't care. Take the cake, man.
What kind of cake was it? It wasn't a Trader Joe's cake,
no,
was it?
No, it was like a stack of donuts. Because it was like, and then someone's like, it's National Donut Day tomorrow. Oh, and I was like, oh, God, don't start.
God. Here we go.
And some customers were like, wanted to be like a part of the community. I was like, I want nothing. Some customers were like, oh, good luck, Omar. Like, they clearly didn't know this.
Dude, I don't want to be chatted up at the register. I don't want to see tomfoolery like this when I go shopping. I want to be left alone. I want to just get my shit, ring it up, and get out without communicating at all.
Well, Trader Joe's, they'll give you that. These are really good. And it's like, yeah, that's why I'm buying them. I already like them.
Oh, really?
You don't have to sell me on them.
Taking a shot in the dark of these oranges here.
You don't have to sell me on the product. Like, I'm already buying it. It's already here. They're like, oh, these are good. You had these? You're like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Believe it or not, I've been eating for 40 years, my friend.
They're like, I get those all the time. I'm like, okay. Anything else?
There's very few things that Trader Joe's sells that every person in the world hasn't eaten at some point in their
life. You ever try that bread? That's good bread.
Yeah, it's fucking bread.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you. Omar, good luck to you. Maybe I might be coming to the Fox Hills. I don't know how they send people off.
You think there's anybody that is like obsessed with their registered person?
I'm sure there's people that probably wait in Omar's line, even though it's way longer than somebody else's.
Oh, I've seen people. This one seems like a particularly neighborhood. Like, I don't know if it's the only one that, for a while.
And they all are, because it's only neighborhood people that go in there. They're all very
neighborhood-y. I've seen where they're like, so-and-so. Like, to the, they know stuff about each other.
I don't want to have that sort of personal relationship with somebody outside of my friends and family.
It's too much info.
Yeah.
I want to be in and I want to be out. Say if you want to say hello to me, that's fine, and then let's end it at that.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? Good.
When I get a disgruntled cashier who's like just wants to ring that shit up and get the fuck out of there. They don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. Everything's great.
Some of them will give you the extra loud thanks for bagging your own groceries to rub it in other customers.
I like that.
They're like, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your help.
I like that.
And you can tell they're doing it for all the other people who don't.
I know.
And there's like an extra edge.
I've seen these fucking assholes just standing there with their bags waiting for these people to fill them.
And it just makes it so slow.
I know.
You got to, if you have bags, fill your own bags. But Omar, if you're listening, good luck at that Fox Hills location.
Jeez, now you just really called this guy out. People might actually run into him.
I wish you the best of luck.
Nothing against Omar.
Nah. And by the way, the best is when the group would die out and this lady on the mic had to carry, loved carrying it and was like, oh, I'll keep it going. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
Did you happen to listen to the GSP Joe Rogan interview?
I heard snippets of it. I didn't hear the whole thing. There was some good stuff in there.
I had a perfect 3-hour drive up to see Courtney's father and that side of her family.
You listened to the whole thing?
Whole thing. I got my highlights written down here.
I only listened to those chunks that Rogan cuts up.
There's just to give you an idea of where I was in Central California, probably half hour out of Fresno, maybe a little more.
Oh,
there was a sign.
The armpit of the fucking world.
There was a sign for a lost pet duck around town that I saw.
Not shocking.
Very small town. Very small.
They all are in there outside Fresno. There's just all these, but they all look the same. There's just all these farming towns.
Yeah, it was. There's some farms and stuff.
Around Visalia or
it
some
is.
Shit?
It's very close.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. But 3-hour ride up there. GSP, very, not that this needs to be said, but stranger than ever.
I thought he was great, though.
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
But strange.
It's almost like he finally realized that his weirdness is actually, it's not a negative, it's a positive. He embraced it.
I think he's finally okay with being himself.
Yeah.
Like, this is who I am. I don't care if people like it, if they don't like it. I have money. So he does not believe there's anything, such thing as free will. He says he makes no choices.
But just that is a choice. By just saying I'm not going to make a choice.
He says everything is predetermined.
Is he super religious?
No, he just says he does not believe that anything he does is a choice.
Yeah, but he goes to training every day.
Yeah, and Rogan was saying stuff like that. And he's like, but I think that has already been done, like the way I grew up.
This guy, he's out of his fucking mind.
A little bit, yeah.
So when he takes a dump, it's like he's not taking a dump.
No.
A force is telling him to sit down and they're going to rip a fucking dump out of
him.
Or
like that dump has already been scripted. Like he has no choice but to take that.
So does he believe that we're in a simulation right now?
I forget. Some of it
seems like that goes along with that line of thinking.
A little bit, I think. Or he's like, I don't know what it is, but I know that it's just all preordained. And,
oh, my God.
I
think what he's looking for, though, is I don't know. I think he's using free will not in the correct capacity. Because free will, him showing up to Rogan's is him making a decision to go in there and using his free will.
Well, Rogan's like, you have ethics. He's like, you obviously seem to be a decent person. He's like, that's a choice. And he's like,
I disagree, Joe. That's just the way I was born. That's the way I am. And the way I went,
he's like, that was going to happen regardless.
You know what, though? I mean, I guess whatever gets you through the day, especially in his occupation, because I heard the one where he says he hates fighting.
He said he absolutely hates it. Before fights, he said every fight, he looks at his management and says,
what am I doing this for?
In the locker room. He said he gets terrified before every fight.
I mean, I can see. I mean, but I think everybody.
No, it's natural.
Every one of those guys.
He said he has to go.
Put your life on the line.
He said he's in the locker room. He said the time he was fighting Bisbing, he's like his everyone.
They all lost.
Everyone lost. And he's like,
oh my, this is disastrous. I'm going to get humiliated.
And so he said.
He said didn't his agent come up to him and go, everything's going to be fine. And he's like, get the fuck away.
So he goes into the bathroom before every fight. Looks in the mirror like Stuart Smalley in SNL and says,
you are very attractive, you are very strong, you are powerful.
And he talks himself up into getting out there and doing it.
But he just made a decision to go in there and hype himself up.
Well, he said that is, and according to him, that is not a decision.
I don't think he knows the definition of free will. And
He did talk about his ulcerative colitis, which is a disease I share with GSP.
But he just got it late in life?
It sounds like. Because when he talks about retiring, it's twofold. One, he says the sport was dirty and he couldn't take it. It was driving him crazy. Two is the fact that it sounds like he was either OCD or so obsessive that it was like he like couldn't sleep. And so I think the stress of everything and the stress of this latest fight and the fact that he was trying to put on weight was a perfect recipe for this disease come out. I don't know if he had it and it was dormant or he didn't know. And so he's like, Joe, it's the worst. Because the beginning, he's not swearing at all. By the end, he starts swearing a little bit. Rogan says fuck a lot. You know, he's a comic. But GSP's like,
I would go to the bathroom and there would be blood, Joe.
But like, wouldn't say I was taking a shit or like, you know. And he's like, oh man, that's tough. That's bad.
I was taking a duty.
And so GSP has gotten super into, if you want to play a drinking game and die, he talks about intermittent fasting, and he says it about 100 times.
That's a big thing now. People are really getting in. Did he say it changed his life?
He loves intermittent fasting and restricted eating. He claims like,
Joe, I've studied the cavemen. They only ate one big meal a day. We are overeating as humans.
Yeah, but look, everybody's fucking different, though.
He claims that he was force-feeding himself breakfast every day.
Yeah, but guess what? You know what? I watched a thing on Alistair Overeem to see how he got so big. He eats like 8 fucking times a day.
Well, that's what GSP was doing, and he said he hated it.
But Overeem's a fucking... I mean, Overeem's roiding, too, but he's a goddamn physical specimen.
Yeah, GSP said it was just too much. By the way, GSP, like lifting weights and stuff is a choice, too, by the way. Like, because he claims, like... Yeah. He claims it makes him not a better fighter. He lifts weights for aesthetics. Because Rogan's like, you have a very interesting outlook on.
So he's very vain
on weight. Oh yeah, he goes. Oh, I'll tell you a story in a minute that he's very vain. But he believes that the weightlifting. He's like,
it doesn't make me hit harder. I trained with a guy very lean. He hits the hardest I've ever been hit in my life.
So he thinks that weightlifting is fairly useless, but he does it because he likes looking good.
It's like, okay.
I like to have a beach body.
He kind of does, by the way. A shocking reveal, but not so shocking because sometimes you like what you're not. He's like,
the guys who talk a lot of trash are my favorite in the sport.
Oh, really?
He loves Conor McGregor. Loves him.
Wow.
He said, I really like the bad guys. He's like, when I watch Star Wars, he's a big Star Wars guy. I love Darth Maul.
He loves the bad guys.
Darth Maul from the ones that were out in the 90s?
He loves all the bad guys. He said,
in the latest karate, I wanted Daniel-san to get his ass kicked, Karate Kid.
Yeah, but they pulled the wool over GSP's eyes because at the end of the day, maybe... I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen the full thing.
Oh, but, you haven't finished it yet?
I did.
You got to get on this free trial, man.
I did get Wild Wild Country. We can discuss that in a minute. Okay. He said, and this is ironic because GSP on Punch Drunk once said this almost verbatim quote. He said,
three things turn me on, women, dinosaurs, and people saying I can't do something.
And Rogan's like, dinosaurs? And he didn't know about his dinosaur obsession.
What?
No, he had no clue.
Really?
Yeah, and GSP's like, oh, yeah. GSP said he's so obsessed with dinosaurs that as a kid, he would dig in his backyard for fossils. And he would find rocks, and he'd be like, oh, I found a dinosaur egg. And he'd bring them inside.
So they're like, I have the largest collection of dinosaur eggs in the world. I have 5,000 of them. Can't believe that so many dinosaurs decided to have eggs in my backyard.
He said he was heartbroken, though, to find out that all his effort was for nothing, because he found out like something about the soil meant that the stuff in Canada has no fossils. And he's like, little did I know. And Joe's like, oh, you
there really no fossils in Canada?
That's what he says. I mean, who knows if his information's
accurate. I mean, there are hotbeds of fossils, obviously.
And yeah, and Rogan was talking, like, in his off time, in his 4 years, he said he traveled the world, part of which he was with paleontologists. He said he went to Patagonia. He said,
I am not a good paleontologist because I don't like, it's like you take a toothbrush and it's like.
Wait, that's the whole thing is like a meticulous excavation.
He said he likes the information and he likes to watch. He said he does not like to do it himself.
You know what's even more boring than doing it yourself is watching somebody
he's a voyeur.
Fucking dust off. Does he jerk it?
Do you mind if I masturbate while you take the excavate the skeleton? Can I try on your khaki vest for a minute?
They're like, who is this guy? He said his friends at the gym all are like, what the fuck? You're going to Patagonia for this?
What, does he show up there with a cooler and a lawn chair and an umbrella and he just watches?
I guess, yeah.
I think all those paleontologists after a while are like, why the fuck is this guy still here?
This guy's jacked. I think he's a professional athlete. He's why retired.
Why is he staring at us?
He's wearing jean shorts. His shirt's off now.
He's drinking a Fanta with a straw.
He has a BMX bike with him. What the fuck?
He keeps saying all this stuff really makes him horny.
He's saying none of this is free will. He's saying weird shit over there. They're like, I'm scared of the guy. Get him out of here. So then he tells this story. I think this was part of his free will discussion. The story gets really, it was really long and really detailed and really bizarre. So as been documented, GSP says he was bullied very badly as a child. And that's why he got into martial arts, because he was getting beat up.
Yeah.
And so there was apparently one guy who really targeted him, was like the Johnny Lawrence of his school. He said he must have said this guy was good looking like 20 times.
He was very tall, good-looking guy. The ladies loved him.
Like, it really plagued GSP that this guy had the ladies going. And so this guy was on GSP's bus and would whip his ass. He said,
one time he pulled down my pants in front of all the people on there.
He said, did you
really? Shut up.
And he said,
pulled his pants down.
He said,
I like this guy's style a little bit.
And it said how much it humiliated him, especially because there were women, the girls around.
Show his dick and balls.
They just pantsed him. I don't know. And he said he was older, and he was bigger, and he played hockey, and there was nothing he could do. And GSP said, even with my martial arts, I was way smaller, but I was the type of guy that I was just going to keep on fighting him. And eventually he did get tired of beating him up. He's like, you're not even worth it. You just stop beating him up.
Was GSP going out there looking for the fight?
I think so. He was like, just said, like, I was like almost insane to the fact of like, I was just going to like get beat up like every
day. Does he see him now?
So he did no clue what happened to this guy. And then he's like,
I was driving in Montreal. I was pulling off a highway. A man comes up to my car begging.
No.
It was that guy.
No, it wasn't.
He said.
He's fucking hallucinating this shit.
So he said it's this.
I think he thought it was this guy. There's no way it's this guy.
So he says it's the same bully. And GSP says and he sees this. GSP gets out of the car and he says he can see it in his eyes like, oh no, now GSP is the former champ. I'm in for it. Like, I'm fucked. And he's like,
so he's going to beat the shit out of this homeless guy. So that's probably not this guy at all.
So that's what this guy thinks. But GSP pulls up one on him. He takes out his wallet and he's going to give him everything in there. And he says to the guy,
he only had $3.
He said he had like $100. He gives him $100. And he says to the guy,
what happened to you, man? You were so good looking. You had everything.
He was devastated that the guy's good looks have led him to the streets.
He's obsessed with this guy's fucking.
I want to see this guy, too. Is this guy like fucking the Brad Pitt of Canada? Is he just like an average looking guy?
It could be. People call him Keanu Reeves.
So GSB is devastated that this handsome bully is now on the street.
He's like, if it can happen to this handsome guy, what chance do I have?
Oh, his example was, I'm just a nice guy. This is how it started. Sorry. He goes, I'm just a nice guy. Despite all the the stuff between me and the Diaz brothers and the shit they talked and whatever, if I saw Nick Diaz on the side of the road with his car broken down, I would help him. And he goes, that's not a choice. That's just who I am. And Rogan's like, no, it is a choice because you don't have to do it.
Yeah, that's a total choice.
And he's like, no, Joe, that's how I am. I would just do it. And he's like, so he tells this.
I think there's a language barrier.
And there might be. Or either that or he's just very childlike and doesn't fully understand the concept. So he sees the guy, gives him the money. He says, you know, try to get yourself off the street, whatever. I hope this helps you.
Yeah, this $100 is going to fucking get him off the streets.
But then GSP says that he goes, I did still feel rage towards him. But to me, giving the money was like, felt so good because it's like, I'm helping you. You need me. Yeah, so it was almost, but it wasn't like out of the goodness of his heart.
He wasn't doing it. He was doing it to like get revenge in a weird way.
So then he went to his parents' house and they're like, you'll never guess who was here. It was your old bully came by.
Shut up.
And he was looking for you. And I don't get why
to
would
fight him.
Why would he think that?
Did any of this happen?
Why would George live with his parents? He goes, the guy didn't know how to find him, so he went to his parents' house. Because George's like, I live in a small town. Everyone knows where everyone lives.
So he lives like near his parents. Is his sister still cutting his grass?
I don't know. So he goes. So the parents go. He stopped by, said you changed his life. He's back on the right track.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
No, he didn't.
He wanted to thank you,
dude. I don't think this is insane. This guy gives him $100 and he all of a sudden, dude, do you know what chain of events has to take place for you to end up homeless begging on the side of a highway? I don't think there's one act of anything that can actually change that fucking trajectory. That is insane.
He had his looks back, my father said, hence more handsome than ever.
What the fuck is this guy? What is he talking about?
And so,
is this any of this true?
So he didn't see the guy, but he does know that he changed
his
life.
This? This is a fucking, was this an allegory?
It's an after school special. Sorry, George St. Pierre.
Who wrote this? The fucking Grimm's? Is this a Grimm's fairy tale?
I think, what's his name? Fucking Mike Seaver. What's the actor's name? Kirk Cameron. It's a Christian movie that he wrote. Starring George St. Pierre.
I think it is.
So there's that.
What a weird... So he went to his house to thank him for the $100? He only gave $100? What's he going to do with that?
We said that was all he had on him.
I know, but what's he going to do with $100 to change his life around?
He could have driven to a fucking ATM and given him whatever.
But $100 isn't going to fucking get you.
According to this guy, you know, that was all that he needed was the champ to bless him. And whatever has been plaguing him, he's gotten over it.
Well, I guess. Okay. Congratulations.
GSP.
He is now with the hottest girl from our high school. They are married.
They are both supermodels now.
That man's name is Fabio.
What a fucking...
You might know him as Tyson Beckford.
I brought his career back.
What a fucking lunatic.
So there was that. The aliens came up because GSP, had a sense of humor.
About the aliens?
Well, he said to Joe, he's like, Joe, there is something I must confess. And Rogan was like, oh, okay. And bought it. And he's like, there was this fight I had and I was so scared of it that... I was taking steroids, and he's like, what? And it was all about Nick Diaz and how then he's like, and then...
By the way, his delivery was phenomenal because it was trying to be deadpan, but he has that weird voice.
It was horrible.
Like, it was hilarious.
Rogan was dying.
Yeah, but I was dying too because it was so absurd. It was like a crazy attempt at comedy, but using like deadpan humor to do it.
Well, then he's like a nerd, so he has nerdy references. He's like,
and then I got that gamma ray from the Incredible Hulk, and I got the Incredible Hulk strength.
Yeah, what he's talking about. So they brought up the aliens. Oh, he said the very end of the story was that then nothing worked, so he brought in the aliens.
Oh,
and that's what
I heard that part, yeah.
So Joe was like, yeah, well, let's talk about the aliens. And GSP claims that going into the first podcast, he did not even know what a podcast was. and that the length...
Well, I mean, but look, I who cares? It's... How is it different than radio? You know what I mean? It's the same fucking thing as radio, except you just fucking upload it to your own site.
He said the length of the interview overwhelmed him, and his guard went down. I think Rogan somehow brought up aliens, and he said,
I said, this guy knows everything. I can't believe it.
And so that he just, like, he went with it, and he was, like, so overwhelmed.
So wait, so he
No, it's denying true. It. No, it's real. But he's saying that he would never share that information.
But I you don't need to know what a podcast is. It's the same as radio. It's the same as talking into a microphone, period.
Maybe that's part of his choice.
I like how people have a
choice.
Like,
he didn't have a choice to come out with it.
Like it's something so different. It's just regular people can do it now.
Yeah.
Guys like us can just fucking do it and broadcast it out.
Maybe GSP.
But it's not any different than a fucking long radio show.
He has bad interview cardio. After like 30 minutes, his head was all over the place.
He opened up.
So he's like, let me tell the backstory. He's like, so it all happened when I was a young kid.
He's talking about it happening though when he was like training for big fights in the UFC.
He's like, have you ever had something happen to you that you remember but you don't remember fully? And Joe was like, well, I guess.
Dude, is he suppressing some sort of like rape shit that happened to him?
So he says.
Maybe this handsome homeless man got him.
He's like, I don't know if these are dreams, if they're not dreams. He's like, things were happening to me.
oh, boy.
He goes, and I don't know if they were really happening to me, if they weren't.
Oh, dude, this guy.
He's crazy.
No. He had some sort of crazy trauma happen to him that I think he's refusing to allegedly.
He said he would draw.
That's my take on it. Something bad happened to him, and he's suppressing it.
So he would draw a picture of the thing that was plaguing him, and he would show it to his mother.
What did it look like? A giant wiener?
He claims it was like an alien, and then the mom's like, oh, that's an alien. And they were both like, oh, that's an alien that's plaguing him.
What are his parents doing?
So that was the
that's
story.
That's bad parenting. Oh, you know what?
Well, that's probably like Uncle John, but you can't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
you're
I
like,
know,
that's an
true.
Alien.
Yeah. Like, and by the way, Uncle Tony's not coming over for Thanksgiving. Well, they don't have Thanksgiving in Canada, but he's not coming over for Christmas anymore.
After that, I never saw the alien again.
I don't know.
The alien was wearing a trench coat that I think he bought at Macy's.
So that's, I don't know if the alien was handsome or not. He didn't say.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, boy. I don't even want to know what really happened that his parents are trying to cover up. Oh.
He is dying to go to Egypt. Hasn't been there yet, and the reason
it's hard to get in there, isn't it? If you're married, no, it's
no. I think it'd be all right.
No, that's a huge tourist Saudi yeah. Arabia. You can't get into.
So the reason he loves it is there was some period of time there where he's fascinated with because three alpha predators of the dinosaur era all were there at one time.
Jerking off in the sand.
And he's like,
Joe, can you imagine? Did they interact? Did they fight? Did they not?
It's like, you're not going to learn any of that by being there. Who cares?
What's he going to do? Is he going to fuck the soil?
I don't know what he's going
to
do.
I have a feeling that right here is where that they used to talk to each other.
I could picture him having puppets and doing like, you know, like walking him around his hotel room.
I could picture him having a puppet show on the streets of Montreal.
I'd love to
for
see
kids.
It. About him and the bully.
Yeah. The bully's the other guy, too. He's also under the
George,
under the stage.
This puppet show has saved my life. I was a handsome George. Hockey player. Now I'm a homeless guy with no teeth.
He just wrote
but I love performing.
He just wrote a new book, How $100 Changed My Entire Life. What'd he do? Did he buy Bitcoin with it right before it went huge?
It was in the 80s. He bought Apple stock. He's worth $1 billion now.
This man's name was Steve Jobs.
You might know him as Elon Musk.
He spoke about his crazy kickboxing friend. Remember we watched The Ultimate Fighter?
Oh, that guy was great, dude.
He was a Frenchman. He was a kickboxer.
Fucking amazing.
He would drink and smoke cigarettes all night, and then he would come into the Ultimate Fighter set and beat the fuck out of the fighters George was training.
That's like my favorite guy that ever came on that show.
And he was just like a fucking maniac. And George said,
the producers came up to me because he was supposed to leave at the end of the week, and they said, please, this man needs to stay.
And he said his team said, please, we've had enough of this guy. We can't take him
anymore.
Oh,
the team?
Well, they said, this guy, A, is beating the fuck out of us. Two, he's crazy. And George said,
and the producers are like, this is gold.
They told me it was great TV, but I was like, I love this man, but I don't like babysitting him.
And so he said, hey, man, you got
to
go.
It's funny because
he told him to leave.
Dude, like a month ago, I actually was Googling that guy and trying to find clips of him from The Ultimate Fighter, and I can't find him
they
anywhere.
They say his name on
I found his name, okay. But I can't find any clips of him on The Ultimate Fighter. Those are the ones I wanted to find.
At the very end of the interview, it turns into like a 30-minute, some of these wormholes that go down are like, they start talking about death. Yeah. And like, what, you know, do you believe it's nothing?
What's the good stuff, though?
GSP at the end starts, he says Joe Rogan's spinning back kick is by far the most powerful kick he's ever seen a human being deliver.
Dude, it's one of the most amazing technical kicks I've seen.
And they just went like back
it's like
and
the
forth.
Like every time he does it, it's like exactly the same, and it fucking crushes that bag.
Well, so remember the GSP's trainer, that guy John Donaher? He's an Australian guy, and he's like very cerebral. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu man.
He's a jiu-jitsu genius.
GSP calls him the Emperor. I guess they all have nicknames.
Yeah. I've heard him on Rogan's podcast.
And Rogan's like, he's a very dark man.
Dark.
And GSP's like, he has very dark thoughts. John Donaher is very dark. I don't know what this guy's doing or thinking, but.
What the fuck?
I don't know if he's like, I want to kill people and fucking fuck them. God damn. Who knows? But anyway. So they were talking, and John Donaher went up to Joe Rogan, and he was like, do you know anyone who can do like a really good spinning back kick? Like, I'm trying to get George to learn one. And Rogan's like, so he comes up to me, and I'm like, this is going to sound crazy, and you know, I'm not, like, but he's like, I can. And George's like, John Donaher is such a genius. He was setting you up. He told me he knew you did it and that he did it. So he would ask you that.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he just go, hey, Joe, I know you have a great spinning back kick, so why don't you show him?
I think George thought that.
Dude, he is reading into everything a bit too much.
I think he thought that Joe would turn it down or something or feel
why
weird.
Why would he turn it down?
I don't know. And so he's like, he's such a genius that he approached you like this and did it this way.
Oh, God. You know, I hate when people read into stuff that deeply, where it's like every move is so calculated. Well, then again, he believes his whole life is calculated.
Well, then he says intermittent fasting is he says he feels better than when he was 25. He said the only difference is his birthday was recent and he goes, I got absolutely wasted. It's a rare occasion for me. And he said the hangover was bad. That other than that, he said physically better.
I've heard a lot of competing. Like some people it works for, some people it doesn't.
Yeah, he said the colitis is pretty much healed. He needs a little more time though before he can say he's going to fight.
Dude, I think you just get on a decent diet and like if you're hungry, you eat.
I think it's the kitty litter.
If you want to get big though,
kitty litter computer spray is killing his system.
But if you want to get big, you do have to consume a shitload of protein.
He says
that's the building block of muscle.
He said Bisping, the punch that hurt him, he said it was the worst, biggest punch he's ever taken. He's such a big guy compared to him.
Didn't Brian Stan say Bisping's the hardest punching guy he ever?
George
said,
oh, by the way, George trained with who, if you don't know him, he's this huge heavyweight, Shane Carwin, fucking lunchbox.
Wait,
he sparred with him. Rogan's, are you crazy?
He sparred with
him for a round. Carwin? And he goes, I don't know what I was thinking. He gets in there. He goes,
Carwin must have been pulling punches.
He said, I hit and run. I was not. He said, I don't want to hit.
Carwin could knock his head off.
He said he hit and run. And he was moving the whole time.
I wish Carwin would come back.
He should do the bare knuckle fighting in Wyoming.
Maniac.
Bare knuckle fighting.
He was literally one of my favorite fighters. That was a one punch dude. He never got out of round one until fucking Brock Lesnar took him out.
Huge fucking bombs.
God damn, he was great to watch.
So that's the George St. Pierre Bizarro, but very fascinating man. He a great interview.
Yeah, I think he might be one of the best in MMA fighter interviews. By the way, big shout out to Bisping, who retired. Did we give him a retirement shout out last time?
I don't
Eleanor
think we
was
did.
Here.
Oh, by the way, Luis J. Gomez and the Gomites is what he calls his fans. I guess he said on...
Why don't they call them Gonards?
I thought our Gobots.
Gonads?
Gobots.
Gonads.
Or the Gonorrheas.
Yeah.
So I guess on their last, what is it called? Like the
you me love you me.
You say anything? Are you something out
believe
of
order. Believe you me.
Yeah. So he said to Bisping, "Now that you're retired, let's get together and spar." And Bisping said, "Yeah, that's just what I need, Lewis. I'm retired, and people get wind that I'm sparring now with comedians."
By the way, dude, what a death sentence. Why would you want to spar with Bisping?
If he wanted to, he could hurt you very badly.
I mean, even him taking it easy on you, he's at such another level that even going light, he at some point would just get bored.
And he's a competitive guy who's like, hey, man, I flew
here.
I'm going to fucking hurt
that guy.
You.
Dude, we started watching him on fucking The Ultimate Fighter.
Years ago.
Ross Poynton, remember when his buddy?
His fellow Englishman who once was whipped with tire irons.
Yeah.
On the way to a fight, and he said, let me fight. The commission said no, and he was pissed.
He was all bloody.
He was terrible fighter.
I looked that guy up, and he retired, but he was fighting up until, like, well, kind of recently.
He was very dumb. They're like, you need work on your jiu-jitsu. And he's like, you say my jiu-jitsu shit.
Ate the
pizza? You're trying to say my jiu-jitsu shit.
He went to weigh-ins, and then he ate like three pizzas afterwards.
And he felt bad.
Shocking. Like, oh, I feel sick.
He kept saying, all he said was, you know what to mean. You know what to
I
mean.
I love that guy. That was a good one.
So there it is. Congrats to Michael Bisping on his retirement.
Hell of an entertaining career.
Hope he gets his eye fixed. It's been plaguing him for a long while. So that's some crazy shit going on out there.
Wild times.
Speaking of which, did you? This is a story that I've been meaning to do. We had Eleanor on where we talked about. By the way, thank you for everyone. Very positive feedback for the Eleanor Kerrigan.
Everyone loves Eleanor.
Some said on the Facebook page, our best episode ever. I don't know if they're just Johnny-come-latelys.
Oh, I forgot about the Facebook page. I try not to read anything anymore about us at all.
Courtney tells, I don't look at it. She'll tell me something if she feels I need to know it. But did you hear about this 30-year-old son situation?
You know what? Okay, before we get into this, Have you listened to the guy?
Is he something wrong with
yes.
him?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's my problem with all, like, he's mentally ill, dude. Like,
so the parents, because if you don't know what this is they took it to court. He said his parents are throwing him out. He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
They're like, this guy needs.
People are claiming he's just like a jaded millennial who doesn't want to leave the house.
That's what I thought.
No, dude. This guy said he had his kid taken away because the mother of the child said that this dude ran his fingers through his hair too much. I mean, this dude's. What I think happened was, this guy moved back into his parents who was about 22, which is probably about the time. This is all allegedly. This is all an alleged theory I have.
Okay.
That when he was about 22, probably because he was probably getting mentally ill. And so they brought him back in there. And then, because I know, because I have personal experience with this, with a family member, this was all told, you know, I was around during this time.
Yeah.
And so they bring him back in. Because he can't fucking function on his own, but then he becomes too dangerous to fucking live with, and he won't leave, and they're probably scared of him, so they're trying to get him out, and he's fucking...
Got it. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so thank you for that intervention.
Yeah, no, I was the same. When I heard it, I was like, this... And then I heard the guy, and I was like, oh, people are really exploiting this fucking guy, and he's clearly got some fucking screws loose.
Some pizza shop offered him a job.
Yeah, see, it's not a job that's the problem here. It's this guy.
And it's like, can he keep the job?
Yeah, and he claims he has a business he's running right now. He's self-employed. He's got
maybe
business.
Working with GSP.
Dude, let's just say...
maybe he's a homeless guy. GSP saved him.
This guy had a lot of similarities to a family member of mine that it just rang a little too real for me when I listened to this guy talk.
Well, we'll skip to this one then. Barb sent me this one, and this is right up your alley. I think you'll enjoy this. This is from USA Today. They've gotten into the Daily Mail style stories.
Haven't they all now?
So this is Andrew DeWitt, friend of the show, his neck of the woods. This is South Carolina.
Oh.
This is a grocery store that when I went to school in Florida, I went to regularly. It's called Publix. I called it Pubix, along with some of my pals.
Okay.
When you'd go in there, you'd go to the deli, get a nice sandwich. And then
was it Boar's Head? A delicious Boar's
Head?
They'd
always say, you want Boar's Head or Publix?
Why is everyone pushing Boar's Head so much?
Boar's Head is in every grocery store. And they
went to Ralph's? What a delicious Boar's Head.
They always are pushing the Boar's Head on you. It's the guacamole, the avocado of sandwich meats.
Yeah.
They're like, it's extra, but it's delicious. So somebody ordered a cake for their, I believe it was for their son, Jacob.
Big Jake got a birthday.
Yeah, maybe Big J Okerson. I don't know his real name.
Blackjack Okerson?
It is BJO. So Jacob's graduating high school, and the parents are proud of him. They want the cake to say, congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018.
By the way, who gets a cake? You know what my problem with high school graduations is that, like, most people graduate from high school. It's not that big of an accomplishment.
Well, I guess...
There's not a whole lot of celebration to do here.
I guess
here.
They appreciated the summa cum laude status.
Yeah, I don't think I had... There was like, yeah, well...
You did it.
You should have, you moron. You should have gotten out of high school.
Go work or go to college.
Yeah.
Those are your choices. But then Publix said they could not do it. They said the word "come" was in the word, and they refused.
But they're spelling it C-O-M-E, or
no,
they're spelling
C-U-M.
It C-U-M?
It's spelled C-U-M.
Wait, what is it?
It's summa cum laude.
Oh, it's cum laude.
Which is Latin.
Yeah.
It's not "come."
So
Shut the fuck up.
So they would. They claim it was software that did it, but I think it was somebody saw it.
So someone flagged just the linking of these three
just
letters.
The word cum. They said,
no,
cannot.
But like C-U-M can't be. They flagged that from the system completely.
Yeah, so they it was not able to be on the cake.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What if your last name is Scumstein?
They're not going to do
you're
it.
Sorry, you can't do business at Publix if you want a fucking cake.
She had to go into the special instructions box and say, hey, this is a Latin phrase that is means.
Why, also, why couldn't they just spell it with an O and then meticulously just cut the top of the O off?
I don't think they thought
and make
that,
a U.
I don't think they thought this would have been a problem.
What, yeah, what do they have to go get a fucking customer service? They're going to call India?
So she went in the instruction box and said, this means with honors or distinction.
Oh, my God.
She even included a link to a website explaining the meaning of it.
Because when you told me that, I didn't even register. I was like, how are they getting, how is this even happening?
It's crazy. So they get the cake. The cake was made, but instead of the word come, there was just dot dash dash dash. So it says summa dash loud.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's right here. The picture of it.
So don't go in there. What if you graduate magnum cum laude? It's like you can't do any of the cums.
Jacob said the cake experience was kind of frustrating and humiliating because I had to explain to my friends and family like what that meant, and they were giggling uncontrollably. At least my friends were. His mother was upset. She said she was absolutely humiliated. Oh, she said her son was absolutely humiliated.
Also, and this is ridiculous, but it's also not such a huge deal. But also, this whole thing is fucking ridiculous.
Publix apologized, offered a refund.
Well, I hope so. How about some free cum cake?
Then I guess they said, we're just happy that... the mom said, we're just happy that her son graduated and has a bright future. It's really not a huge deal, but... Yeah.
Also, couldn't they just get a blank cake and write it themselves?
I think they should have put a dick with cum coming out of it.
Oh, yeah. I think they should have put drops. I think underneath cum, there should be like droplets coming off of it. That actually would be a great cake where it's a cock and it just says... What did they want on there? It wasn't magnum cum laude. It was
summa
cum laude. Something like that. Someone should just start making cakes like that.
Or just go to a dirty cake shop and be like, hey, here's what I want.
Oh, there's one on every corner, I hear. The dirty cake shop.
Then there was this one that happened.
You have to go to like an adult bookstore that makes cakes in order to get that shit.
It's probably somebody would do it.
Dude, any local baker would do it. Not you don't go to these. See, man, you can't go to these corporate places.
Publix, strict policy.
Yeah, it might be a little. You might want to lighten up a little bit.
Do you, this one? I found this myself.
Also, by the way, if somebody wants to make a dirty cake, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, it's not like you're putting it out on prominent display at the front of your store.
And it's not for a kid's birthday. It's an 18-year-old. Who cares?
Even if it was for kids, if the parents,
it's like, hey, go to college and come hard. That's the problem. Why?
Yeah.
It's not hate speech.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Why don't you just say something like, you could write out dropping loads or something.
Ropes.
No condoms allowed.
big old loads. Hey, blow your load in college.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this? It's crazy. This is CNN. So apparently, where is this? Where in the world is this?
Carmen Sandiego?
It's in Denver. So there's an FBI agent, guy's off duty.
Oh, I saw this.
This fucking idiot.
Yeah. Dude, is this real?
It seems like it is.
It seemed like somebody photoshopped the muzzle flash.
He goes to a nightclub, and then he's doing like backflips and shit on the dance floor like he's Jean-Claude Van Damme in Kickboxer. He loses his gun.
It falls out of the back of his pants.
And then it's on the floor, and in the process of trying to pick it up in a hurry, it goes off and he shoots some lady in the leg.
He did shoot a lady.
Yeah.
Because he ends up like walking away, kind of like, to me it all seemed fake.
Maybe it is. Maybe we'll find out.
The muzzle flash?
It says one person was struck in the lower leg, but is expected to survive. Denver cops issued that statement.
Okay. I'm skeptical, but maybe it did. But also he was very casual. Like for a guy in law enforcement,
He just kind of like, it looked like he kind of walked away from the situation instead of running up to the lady.
They say he wasn't arrested. How are you not arrested for that?
Well, accidental discharge, I don't know. But I mean, it's an accident.
I mean.
But he didn't seem that concerned.
It's just bizarre, though. Like, FBI is like, you fucking, they say they didn't know if he was drunk. So this guy is in a club doing backflips and shit. He's not drunk.
I will say, very athletic guy.
Every wedding he goes to, he whips out these backflips.
But dude, also, what kind of fucking holster do you have? If you're going to do backflips, that shit better be locked down.
Yeah.
Like tight. Or you might want to just put the gun on the table and then go out the dance floor.
Something tells me.
Because when he grabbed it, it looked like he hit the trigger.
He may be getting the talking to.
I think he hit
from his higher-ups.
He's going to get whatever the...
Siberia?
Whatever the traffic crossing or the... what do they call it? The people that, you know...
Crossing guard?
Now do the traffic when the lights are out with the cops.
I think he may...
Whatever the FBI equivalent of that is.
He may be in a basement just sorting paperwork. Yeah,
he's just fucking shredding stuff. He might be scanning with John Little.
He very well
could.
Yeah,
you got these FBI documents?
Yeah, I can do backflips. I just choose not to. Then this is another CNN. I believe Barb sent me this as well. I think somebody.
By the way, John Little, very unimpressed with the Luis J. Gomez sparring session.
Really?
He texted me. He goes, "What's this guy's name you're fighting?" Then he got back to me. "I just watched this guy spar some fat fuck. There was two fat fucks fighting, and I was dying."
He's not sold on him.
This guy's a piece of shit.
Well, he's not into him. That's fine. So apparently, this is from Australia. There is a small mouse-like critter.
Not a mouse.
It's not a mouse. It's a marsupial. I don't know what the fuck's the thing's name.
Titmouse?
I don't know
it's
what the
bird,
name is.
Isn't it?
It's so like these things are known for marathon mating sessions, which can last up to 14 hours.
Wait, fucking one of its other? Just one single one or multiple ones?
I think single, but I'll get to it. But they say that these things are fucking so long and so hard that they're actually killing themselves. And that the species may be extinct due to hard fucking.
So are we trying to save them?
Yeah.
Because by the way, things are fucking themselves to death.
They deserve to go out.
Just like us.
Yeah.
We'll eventually fuck ourselves to death.
Yeah. So the Australian government has added two species of, it's called the Antichinus.
So what are they going to do? Like throw water on them after they've been fucking for a little bit?
I don't know. The black-tailed dusky and the old silver-headed Antichinus are being added to the endangered species list, saying that all the sex is killing them off.
Why are we saving them?
Yeah.
That's evolution.
Doing it to themselves. So during the mating season, which lasts for several weeks each year, the males and females move frantically from one mate to another.
Oh, so they're just dropping bombs.
There's no courtship, just sex with as many partners as possible.
Whoa.
Jeff Corwin, we used to watch a show that he did on the Animal Planet.
Yeah.
So they literally become a marsupial zombie in their pursuit, Jeff Corwin.
Are there animal STDs?
Probably.
I mean, that kill like that could take you out. Like we have.
Oh, I don't know.
We just have way too much.
Koalas get.
Yeah, but I think that I don't think they die. I think they can give it to us, but I think they're immune to it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, chimpanzees get AIDS.
Yeah,
but it doesn't kill them.
The males of these things only live about a year, and the females live up to 3 years. But on average, they both die after a litter is born.
Wait, so how often is the litter? So they die pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it says the round-the-clock sex stresses both sexes, and only the males produce testosterone, said some research guy. He said the constant high levels of testosterone keep the stress hormone cortisol from shutting off. And so eventually
his adrenal glands.
So eventually it reaches toxic levels and causes the animal's immune system to malfunction. The animal then bleeds it internally and dies.
Oh,
due to fucking.
What a fucking way to go.
Yeah, just the power orgies.
God damn.
So they say it purges almost half of the adult population every year. It's so they're already vulnerable, but then they claim that humans are also pressuring them.
We're pressuring people watching them. You better keep fucking.
What is it, a bunch of perverts out there with lawn chairs? Like GSP being like, oh, I love to watch them fuck?
Corwin says it's not just too much sex. He thinks what's killing them is habitat loss, climate change, and predator species being introduced like dogs.
Wait, whoa. So one side saying it's too much fucking, the other side it's environmental changes. How could there be two groups that differ that greatly on their theories?
Yeah, I don't know. He said dogs, cats, and rats are outcompeting the species to extinction. He says, and as this species, as it shows us, just wants to have a good time.
What?
This is the this is like the Ibiza of species here.
If someone's asked you in a job interview if you could be any animal, you tell them the Antigonus.
This thing.
Because they're like, why? Because they fuck for 14 hours.
They fuck
hours.
Until they bleed to death internally.
To die. They think there could be as few as a few hundred animals of each of the two species left.
Wait, just a few hundred?
In order to save them, which I don't get why people are, this researcher guy thinks humans need to get them to migrate to southern Australia where it's colder. But researchers aren't sure how they would even introduce them to that area.
Oh, my God.
Some people are saying, what if we keep the males and females separate? But then how the fuck are they going to reproduce?
Also, why are we sticking our fingers in this shit still? If it's environmental factors, yes. But if it's just them fucking, you just got to fuck them out of existence, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know why, like...
What a weird...
But these things are loving to fuck.
Also, man, it's just like... Are the females like very infertile? Do they need like 50 dudes to fuck one of them in order to get them pregnant?
I don't know. It says there are some other animal species that do that. For example, the garter snake. They say they engage in massive tangled orgies that are so exhausting that the males age faster and die sooner.
Well, I could only imagine what that looks like. I hate snakes.
Just a massive snake. You're fighting the Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
I know. I said I hate snakes.
Or as Ari Shaffir calls them, the Latino tapeworm on Twitter.
I know.
I
think he also calls them Puerto Rican trash.
Has he called them that?
Term. I think he has called them that.
Wow.
I believe that he may have said that to me.
That's interesting.
I think he might say it to his face.
We have time for one more quick one.
Yeah, we got another quick one.
This is a mystery, the likes of which Sal Zuno and Sharketti, two former Danish and O'Neill investigators, need to look into. I think we have to try to piece together what happened here. I don't know if we're ever going to figure it out. This is out of Orlando. This is some Orlando news site. So the FBI, I don't know, no word on whether the backflipping, gun-discharging FBI agent's in on this. They're trying to determine whether to press charges after a man allegedly punched a pregnant deaf woman and her service dog on a Frontier Airlines plane in Orlando.
trying to determine whether they should press charges.
Yeah. So no charges, I think, as of the time of this was written, were pressed. So according to Orlando police, as the flight from Colorado was descending for landing at Orlando, Timothy and Petrini Manley, I don't know what kind of name that
by
is.
By the way, if you're like on an international flight and something happens and you're basically in the middle of the ocean, who
gets the, who can charge you?
Yeah, because say you're flying to a country that has super strict shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you go America or you go fucking Thailand, whatever the shit's there?
I need an air lawyer.
Yeah.
Call me somebody up.
Is there a lawyer on board?
So Timothy and Petrini Manley took issue with a fellow passenger's service dog. Petrini Manley, I think that's the woman, allegedly complained she was allergic to dogs, and Timothy Manley complained the dog, a Great Dane, was taking up too much space. But the couple, the dog...
Well, she had a Great Dane that was a service dog?
But the couple they were with, they're both deaf.
That's a tough...
But I looked up. They said Great Danes can be of great help.
No, I'm just saying that's a fucking huge dog.
Yeah, it's big. Especially to fly. But
you can probably teach it to get shit up off of high shelves.
Yeah, it probably gets the baggage up off the top.
Yeah, it puts it up there. Also, I heard when you walk into the bathroom that they're standing up pissing in the toilet.
So whatever happens. Timothy then punches the dog with a closed fist.
Dude, why am I never on these flights where something insane happens?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because what would your reaction be if some dude just punched a fucking Great Dane in the face?
I don't know what I would do. Did the dog do something to deserve it? I don't know. What do you do?
Did you see those two dudes that got in a fight on a with the stewardess and fought each other, and one of them's going to prison for like 10 years.
Jeez. Yeah, if you do stuff on a plane, they don't
fuck around. They had to divert the plane. So this guy punches the Great Dane.
Punches the dog. The owners of the dog, Matthew,
didn't hear it at all. Didn't know. Know that this guy was beating the shit out of their dog.
They are both deaf, so they probably did not hear it.
Also, Great Dane is a very short-haired dog. Chances are, even if you're allergic, probably not that big of a fucking deal.
So Matthew Silva and Hazel Ramirez, they're both deaf. They began arguing with the Manleys in quotes as best as they could, though they both communicate via sign language. So I'm sure.
Oh, just, dude, that might have been a frantic fucking flailing of fingers and hands.
Timothy reacted by getting in Matthew's face. Timothy's the non-deaf guy. Matthew's the deaf guy. Gets in his face. According to the police report, at some point, Hazel, who is the deaf guy's wife, she's deaf as well.
And she's pregnant.
Punched in the stomach by Timothy.
Oh!
And two of their children were touched by Timothy.
Wait, touched sexually?
It does not say. I assume violently, but I don't know.
I think it was aliens that touched them. I will draw a picture of the perpetrator. These aliens have huge penises.
Mom, look at this dinosaur egg. It weighs 50 pounds.
Dude, by the way, the fact that they let him believe that, too.
Well, he said his mom would always be like, oh, yeah, it does look like one.
Found another one. I will go out. This is the 50th one I found today.
George, our backyard is covered with rocks. You're breaking the lawnmower. So Ramirez said, that's when my fiance just became furious because he put his hands on me and the kid and the dog.
Oh, yeah, it's like it finally took that much for this kind
he's
of
like,
break.
First,
you punched my dog.
You punched my pregnant wife. I'm going to let that slide.
No, first you punch the dog.
Yeah.
Then you punch the pregnant wife. Then you touch my two children.
All right, three strikes.
That's it.
I've had rolling enough. My sleeves up. The argument continued as the couples departed the plane. And,
wait, all this happened. No stewardess said anything. No civilians on the plane said anything.
I guess not.
What is this, a cargo ship?
The guy tackled Timothy Manley, according to police.
On the way out?
Yeah.
God damn. Why does this shit never happen on my flights? I would be like, what the fuck?
He admitted in the police report to tackling him, saying he did it so he could be detained until the police got there. Petrini Manley told the news that whole incident was just a misunderstanding. Just a big old misunderstanding.
Do they have witnesses?
She said her husband accidentally hit the dog, but couldn't convince the deaf people that it wasn't on purpose.
Wait, but what about the punch to the stomach? Self-defense?
Let's see. It says no one was arrested in the incident, which is crazy.
Yeah.
When you hear a punch a pregnant woman in the stomach and a dog.
That's a little out there.
But the case has been referred to the FBI. They're like, we're in over our heads.
By the way, what the fuck is the FBI doing in this case?
I don't know. I don't know what anyone's doing.
The FBI's not going to fucking look into this.
By the way, they're lucky this isn't Matt Hamill, former deaf UFC star.
Oh, that dude would have pounded.
He would have shot the double leg takedown. He was a wrestler at some...
By the way, he fought Michael Bisping, he was on The Ultimate Fighter, not the same year.
They didn't get along. No, they were.
Oh, that was the same year.
They hated
each
other.
Yeah, it was the Tito.
He was his same training camp, and they hated each other because he looked at Hamill as a goody-goody and Tito's suck-up. So the FBI's...
Is that Tate? No.
Because this took place on a plane, the FBI comes in, I guess.
Was Tate on that season?
No.
No, that was...
That was B.J. Penn and... no, that was Ken Shamrock.
Shamrock
and Tito.
Yeah.
The FBI was contacted, and a copy of the reported... the report is provided to them. The police report states, Hazel does not wish to prosecute and will testify in court.
Hazel doesn't wish to prosecute.
Yeah, isn't that the deaf lady? Why isn't she not one?
Dude.
What is happening
did
here?
Were there no witnesses to this?
I don't know. This is bizarre. Frontier Airlines, the one...
So was the other couple blind? Was it like a blind and deaf couple fight?
I don't know. Frontier Airlines sounds like the Wild Wild West.
By the way, I'm not a fan of Frontier Airlines.
I've heard bad things.
I've had some bad experiences.
Said the safety and security of our passengers is our top priority. Apparently not. Upon deplaning flight 1752 from Colorado to Orlando, there was a confrontation between passengers. Police were immediately notified to aid in de-escalating the situation. So I don't know. Did this guy get away with... deaf abuse and animal abuse?
Could this be the world's worst misunderstanding?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
If they can't hear it, like, how did they... Did someone see him punch it? I don't know. Punching the Great Dane.
But then if you punch the pregnant woman, how does that go?
And then you touched his kids? I don't understand what
you
the
think
touching
he just
is.
Touched her or, like, somehow brushed against her and they interpreted that as a punch?
Maybe they smelled the punch coming.
That's true, too.
I don't know, dude. There's too many.
There's a lot of moving parts.
The FBI is going to be they're going to throw this in the garbage and everyone's going to walk away.
The other people on the plane, say this guy did hit the press. Why would they let him go off the plane?
People are tackling people. You got to chalk this one up to I don't know.
It's a mystery that may never be solved.
This is a greater mystery than the shit whodunit.
Yeah, it's up there. I don't know what to make of it.
But look, if all the things happened that he said happened, somebody must have said, this isn't just like a punching of the dog. It was the punching of the stomach.
Well, it sounds like
it was the touching of the children.
Sounds like there was a lot of problems throughout, like, and then it boiled over.
Yeah.
And where did he punch the dog? Did he punch it in the body so as not to leave any wounds?
Could have punched it in
the mouth?
In the ribs.
Could have punched its dick.
There's a lot of area to punch. Very weak dog because it's got so many exposed area, got no fat on it.
I'm assuming, too, service dogs are taught never to use their strength for evil.
But maybe that dog was doing what I was doing, letting it lick my wiener as a joke, and then they misunderstood it when he tried to push the dog's face away.
I think the only way to solve this is Frontier flies just the four of these people.
In a plane by themselves?
In a plane by themselves.
Duke it out?
Let them duke it out. If you kill somebody, you're exonerated.
Are the kids going to come too?
Sure, bring the kids.
You
bring
touch
the great
my
day.
Kids, you son of a... Are the kids deaf?
It does not say. It's a good question.
Yeah.
The dog, I believe, is a full-hearing dog, but it didn't say maybe the dog has problems. I don't know.
Maybe, what if she has the baby and it's deaf and she blames it on being punched?
That could. I don't know if they're sniffing a lawsuit on this. It's just a crazy situation.
Dude, you punch a pregnant woman,
you're going to jail.
Shit's going down.
Yeah.
So
even if you shove a pregnant woman,
I don't know who to believe here.
Yeah,
I have a feeling they're both some shady shit on both sides.
Well, it sounds it was allergies, and then what was the guy's excuse? One of them was allergic, and then what was his problem with it?
I thought the allergy.
They both had allergies. That's why they had a problem with it.
Oh, you mean
one of them said allergies, and the other one had some other problem.
Oh, it was too big.
Maybe it came on him or something.
It was too big. It's nuts?
It was fucking his leg.
What if they had food and the dog dipped his nuts in his jello?
It stood up?
And he's like, hey, maybe he was grabbing the jello off of his nutsack, and he thought he punched it. And then he starts yelling at it, and then he punches his wife in the stomach.
What if it took a steamy shit in the guy's carry-on?
I don't understand where these dogs shit. They got to shit at some point.
I guess they try to take them before and or after.
Airplanes are disgusting.
So you're on like a 15-hour flight. The dog's going to have to shit.
Shit in your mouth and then you spit out the toilet.
How badly do you want to be comfortable on this flight?
Oh, God. Can you imagine if a dog shit and then it just smelled? You know that dog shit smell?
Oh,
that person would be. Dude, I would puke.
That person would be possibly physically attacked.
Oh, did you hear about the guy that people were throwing up because he smelled so bad?
He got a plane stopped. they had to take it back.
They said it smelled like
people were like nearly passing out.
They said it smelled like he hadn't showered in weeks.
That's fragrant.
People were vomiting in the aisle.
That's fragrant BO.
That's like the old grocery store delivery customer.
Yeah.
If she sat down next to you on a plane, I would instantly puke.
You would.
How did that guy make it through security?
But can you stop him for smelling? Is that a thing?
I think you should be able to.
It's smellerism. It's terrorism via bad smells.
Dude, what if it's smell discrimination?
You're like, hey, I have a disease where I smell like shit.
Yeah, sorry. But you know what? What would you do if someone sat down and they smelled so bad? I mean, so bad to the point that you're gagging. Would you say something or would you just go, oh, oh.
I guess I would just gag. That would be me saying something.
No, but what if he didn't even acknowledge that you were gagging?
I would gag in their direction and make myself puke on their lap.
And you're stuck in the window seat.
Ugh.
And this big smelly fuck is next
But in
to
the
you.
Middle seat is a deaf guy with a Great Dane.
And
the Great Dane's gagging in your direction. Where does a Great Dane go? On the floor, I'd imagine? It's so big.
I can't have anything in the aisle.
They put it on the overhead?
Might have to get its own seat. I don't know.
Those things are tall.
Yeah.
What if it's standing up farting and you're right behind it?
Yeah, walks on two legs down there. It's a duck.
I think like Andre the Giant, a lot of those dogs with the shit behind the curtain in a bucket.
Oh, God. Same bucket. Hey, can you buy a bucket that the airplane used for Andre Giant to take a shit in?
And he signed it? I'd love. And the shit's still in there? It's petrified?
It's scared of it?
Maybe GSP collects petrified Andre the Giant shit.
It is my favorite thing.
He is a fellow Frenchman.
Dude. That guy that smelled, you can't be flying and smelling that bad. Sorry. And he's not allowed to fly.
Yeah. But it sounds like he either has no friends and family or they're scared to tell him.
Sounds like he has no friends and family.
Or they're like, hey, you know, it's a good idea for you. Try flying somewhere. See what happens.
I don't. Maybe there's a condition where you would reek like shit. Or you might just not wipe your ass.
Maybe he has a broke, like a nose that doesn't work. A disease where he can't smell.
You don't have to have a sense of smell to know that you smell.
Yeah.
I think he's taking dumps in his pants.
He's lucky no one died.
From smell?
Speaking of smells, let's do a quick Wild Wild Country review. Not too into it, because obviously there's people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Documentary on Netflix about cults.
So what
the Ragnishis.
What were your feelings on...
My theories are, I agree with you, I think that Sheila and the Bhagwan, a.k.a. Osho, if you knew him later in life when he decided to go Japanese.
Isn't it great when he starts cussing? Sheila
is
a bitch.
Sheila was nothing but a bitch.
I was like, this guy's trash talking.
Well, then Sheila said to the media, if you don't like it, tough titty. Is this like you just threw a tough titty on the news?
Dude, the Australian lady
is crazy.
She
is insane.
Killed somebody, but she acted like
attempted murder.
No, well,
he didn't die.
He could have died
and
easily.
Then was going to shoot a fucking U.S. government official.
But I love the way that she downplayed it all.
Oh yeah, she was like, "Oh, I was just, you know, I had a good shot, and they said you can do it, and I said okay.
I wasn't going to do it, but I just kind of went along with it. It's like you fucking liar."
Well, then she made it seem like she broke the spell of the Bhagwan, but then in the end said, "Sometimes I think I left too soon. I should have stayed,
dude." I'm look at it as murder because that was her intent.
Yeah.
And she thought that was what was going to happen.
She stabbed a doctor in like this fucking weirdo club, the nightclub they had, with a needle and hoping that he would him.
And then she went down, but like she was a total lunatic and she tried to downplay it all.
She brought her kids to this place.
No.
Where people are by all accounts, people were fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
which was
the only enticing part to me, where I was like, maybe I could have been lured into this because you could fuck all you wanted, and there were some decent looking women there.
So my theory, a couple of the nude shots, there were some attractive ladies.
Yeah,
my theory is
I think they'd be too crazy; it'd be a real turnoff for me.
Yeah. So the Wilford Brimley guy, who was the town,
the
town
lawyer
Antelope. No, Wilford Brimley. He was wearing the overalls. The guy, former mayor, I think, of Antelope. He said in the end that his theory was that the Bhagwan was a con man. I agree with him.
Yes.
That I think they never set out to start a religion, but then they realized that these people were willing to give their money for the Bhagwan. And so when Sheila came in, she's like, we can make millions.
I think he was, you know how now there's all these evangelists that are preaching wealth and prosperity. And like, if you're poor, then God won't accept you and stuff like that. It's like the guy who wants the $54 million jet.
Yeah.
This new guy. There was another guy. I think this guy was the originator of that. Like, that sort of thing.
Well, he had, like, they said, double-digit Bentleys or Rolls Royces.
Yeah, he had, like, 20 Rolls Royces.
People started giving him, like, diamond jewelry, and he was wearing it.
Yeah, he wore it, and he said it was good to flaunt that shit.
And he said,
dude,
hey.
Did you see they had an airport with multiple jets?
Well, they also said, why should religion not be capitalist? He's like, we're capitalists.
I think that together with some other people, this guy had a great stare job. He had a great gaze.
He had the look. He had a long ZZ Top gray beard.
I don't think he ever set out to do it. Because he went on like 7 years where like no one even saw him.
When he wouldn't talk. Because he's like, I don't know what to say to these people.
Yeah. Because he's like, the money's rolling in. And if I say anything and they start losing faith in me, then we'll lose the money.
So then this lady, Sheila, comes in. I believe she was obsessed with this guy.
She was a super obsessive person.
Yeah, that and like you could tell like a bit of a sociopath. Like felt no guilt for trying to like kill people.
She was a total fucking sociopath.
I think she started fucking the Bhagwan and then he broke it off and she lost her mind.
I don't think
that's when she went rogue. You disagree?
I think that power went to her head. Bagwan gave her too much power, and she went fucking nutty with the power.
Started speaking in the third person at one point in the documentary.
Also,
like, Sheila is very good woman. And I was like, whoa, this lady's crazy.
Dude, I don't think it had anything to do with fucking Bagwan. I think here's what happened. She got a taste of the fame. She got a taste of the power.
She was doing all the media. She was basically the leader. Like, because he was holed up in whatever the hell he was holed up in. And she was like making all the policies.
Yeah. He gave her, he was the secretary. She was the secretary.
But that basically means you're like the front man. Because he would just go hide and get money.
Dude, she was a fucking, we see it out here all the time with people fucking, especially in Hollywood. There's these total psychos who now get some fame and power and they lose their fucking shit.
She
desperately wanted it, and she desperately wanted it never to go away. And she knew if that town stopped this, like, the feeding frenzy would be over and she would be nothing.
She eventually left the town with the Australian lady and like her crew of women.
Yeah, they fled on that plane.
One of the more disturbing things of the whole document, there was a lot of disturbing things, is how hard these people would laugh at absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
They were constantly like laughing maniacally.
They said the Bagwan was hilarious too.
But he just said not one, nothing funny. Dude.
They're all lunatics. They're in a cult.
They would dance. They would laugh maniacally.
I love when they all got machine guns.
Oh, yeah. They were carrying like...
was creepy as fuck.
They were carrying like 1980s like action movie machine guns.
And they all knew how to shoot.
And they had their own police force.
It'd be scary as fuck.
Of you going like... Yeah, and they were up against like these cowboys.
And they were fucking harassing the goddamn locals.
Yeah, they were doing paparazzi style.
Both sides were at fault.
Yeah.
The Bagwan, more so, because...
Dude, they were running an immigration scam. They're having people marry in states just so they could stay in the U.S. and then come back to the reservation.
It was all a scam. What happened was, it was the same as everything. It started out, I don't even think he started out as good intention. I just thought he goes, hey, this is a good way where I don't have to work and people can support me.
Well, yeah, I'm going to make millions.
And I don't give a fuck.
I'm going to make millions of dollars.
And then it starts spiraling. And then he goes, we got to tap into the U.S. market.
Well, then Sheila starts trying to kill people. It just gets crazier.
By the way,
crazier.
People are idiots because this motherfucker is still making money in India. Did you see it where they have the pay machine?
Yeah.
You can pay with your credit card and you get this sort of, you want 30-minute meditation session.
The religion is worldwide.
That guy was only 50-something when he died.
He looked like 80.
Dude, he didn't do an ounce of exercise.
The religion is worldwide now, and the lawyer could be the creepiest guy in the whole fucking thing.
He loved it, man.
He loves the Bagwan. He cried like 5 times talking about the Bagwan. 2, he said he was the most beautiful man like 5 times.
Yeah.
And he would laugh maniacally and then stop. Like, he was nuts.
It was people just looking... for a purpose. This is why, man, cults, it's just like, but you have to have these people have to exist, otherwise society doesn't function.
Well, the lawyer said, he started crying. He said, that was the only time in my life I was accepted for who I am.
I know, I was like,
what was wrong with you?
He was working like in a good law firm and shit in LA early.
What I didn't appreciate is they didn't pay off because the PR woman was with the lawyer. They showed him holding hands numerous times.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
what happened?
I was just talking to Abby about that. I was pissed too. I go, so they left together. I go, what, did they fuck? Are they still together?
They break up.
Yeah.
I was waiting for
they
them.
Skirted that for to her do, to pop up
in the interview, the same interview, and like, oh,
it's
we're happily married.
Room.
And I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah, I thought the same thing, but no, they skirted it.
It's like they didn't even talk about it once. He said, I went with so and so. We left to go to the mountains. We left the community. He went to India. How crazy was it when the Bagwan dies? They claim he was poisoned. Sheila does because she's insane. They put his body on the stage and they all start doing the dancing that they do. And people were cheering and stuff. And then like, and the lawyer's like, I saw his body burned. What an honor. What an honor that was.
Dude, you get a bunch of people that need someone to tell them what to do. Then somehow those people get powerful. And they get, and they're so, I mean, a lot of them were sociopaths because they went along with whatever this guy said. It was a very Manson vibe there. Very Charlie Manson-esque sort of vibe because these guys were ready to kill for this motherfucker and they armed him.
Well, what was crazy too is one of the bigger surprises is what happened to Sheila in the very end. She was running like a house for like schizophrenic people and like mentally ill. And she was trying to like basically be the Bagwan, but for like people who were mentally incapacitated. She was running them
out of her house or something.
I was like, what the fuck is this? She fell from like, she it seemed like had tons of money.
She needed more people she could control.
Dude, when she posed nude in Germany, I was like, this is crazy.
Great.
She's like, when I went to prison, they were asking me for my autograph.
Well, she loved it, dude.
Oh,
she
loved the fame.
I loved when she went on like Donahue and all those fucking 80s shows.
She loved swearing in interviews. Like that was her like, thing. She would say like, her there accent was got worse with age. It was weird.
There was nothing spiritual about any of this shit.
No.
It was such a con job.
They caught her drugging the homeless people she brought in to fucking beat the vote. They shipped in all these homeless people and they started drugging them.
She poisoned an entire town with salmonella.
Yeah.
By sprinkling it. They had a lab where they were building viruses to fucking poison this town.
They were hitting food and salad bars.
Oh, man. What a crazy, twisted fucking shit that was.
I asked my mom, I go, have you ever heard of any of this? Because it seemed like it was like big news then.
It was.
And she goes, no, I've never heard of it.
My sister-in-law, like obviously she's Indian, but and my brother-in-law knew about it. He remembered all that shit.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
They
showed like Tom Brokaw talking about you know, all those old school guys.
Back then, you got to imagine like it was, if you didn't catch that local news, you didn't see anything, what was going on. There was no... Like, there wasn't anything other than a newspaper and, like, a 9 o'clock news.
The Bhagwan. The lawyer claims he has 50 books, and they're all over the world. And he goes, I'm writing a book? Why hasn't he published it? He's had since the 70s.
I know.
And he goes, you know, a couple things have come up. I go, what? What Dude, are you doing?
The Bhagwan, what a genius move. This guy decides to not talk anymore, which only builds his legend more.
Oh, and then if he talked to you, these people would like come in their pants.
Oh, they would.
Because the lawyer goes, when he was in prison, I got the chance to get to know him.
Can you imagine being that obsessed with some fucking idiot dude to be like, I get a private one-on-one with the Bhagwan. And by the way, the Bhagwan had nothing to say that was worthwhile. I didn't hear in any of these speeches that they showed him giving. There wasn't a goddamn worthwhile thing in there.
He almost spoke more slowly just to make it seem like it had more meaning. He spoke very slow.
He's very methodical with every word.
Like, Sheila is... Like you would hang on. Oh, what else was he going to say? It's so deep.
And then it was a bitch. And I go, well, this guy's just some fucking dude.
Well, then they said his big thing, I said last episode, is that he would do the raise the roof, and people would go crazy, and they're like, oh, he had this spirit about him.
Dude.
Like, what? He had nothing.
Whenever I watch those things, part of me is like, I should just start a cult.
I love his outfits.
There's so many fucking people you can
some
get.
Some of his outfits look like Ric Flair wrestling robes. One of them was like sequined on the sides. It was like,
he liked Flash.
He loved when they said the Hollywood crew started coming in. That lady who produced The Godfather or was one of the producers?
The divorced.
Tasia or whatever her name is?
I think she was married to the producer of The Godfather. Oh, but you know Hollywood? They'll bite down on any of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Sheila got mad when the Hollywood crew started
bending
his ear.
Well, then she had Sheila had the secret jacuzzi underneath her room. Who knows what was going on down there?
Dude, there was so much. God,
I loved all the townspeople were like, all we heard was fucking nonstop.
I would have loved to. I think that's what the lawyer liked the best.
Was the fucking?
I think he was getting ass like he had never gotten in his life.
He looked a lot like Skolnick from Revenge of the Nerds in the flashbacks.
Yeah.
The newer version of
him. Very bright guy.
Yeah, he was an unbelievable lawyer.
But
some of his views on the bag, they were a little skewed of like, oh, the government was after us. Like, you guys had machine guns. You were harassing
what
people.
What I liked about it is you got to see it, though, from everybody's
deep
stance on, and everybody was wrong and everybody was right to an extent.
And these people just wanted to fuck hard. But and where all they wore was red, maroon, and orange.
By the way, they're not a good looking if you're going to Oregon. Fucking.
Now there's a Christian camp there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they said, the guy who looked like Wilford Grimley said, we went from free love to these people are abstinent. They're young teens.
Would you say Wilford Grimley?
No, what's the oatmeal? Oh,
Brimley? I thought it's like Wilford Brimley meets Ed Grimley.
What's his name? What's that guy's name?
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, he looked like him.
Yeah. They all look like him.
That guy was great. The average age in that town was like 80.
Well, no, but it was retirement.
Yeah, it was a retirement. Because
it was a cheap place to live.
Yeah, they said they could afford housing.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bhagwan ended up there. Imagine also, that being your town, how pissed you'd
be. I like
be.
How they had no building codes. They just started building. They're like, we're just going to build shit. Well, back in the 80s, you could get away with that.
And they're like, oh, we didn't mean any harm. Then they changed every street to like Bhagwan Drive. And like,
oh, she was fucking with them.
Oh, they definitely were.
She was like an early troll.
Yeah.
Like, she was one of the first trolls.
They said, you can't build where you want to build. And then she's like, so we're going to buy the whole town. And it's like, you're fucking pissing God, these people off.
Sometimes I wanted to fucking murder her.
Oh, she was so arrogant.
Such an arrogant cunt.
And just like evil, though, too.
Yeah.
And then they said the FBI or whoever they
But
lost.
Then sometimes I want, but the bag one was a fucking evil cunt, too.
The law enforcement guy goes, I sat down with Sheila and I believe everything she took. She was very unapologetic. Yeah. She said she did it all with no regrets. And she's like, I did it for the Bhagwan. I would do anything for him.
I do side a little bit more with the townspeople, obviously.
Imagine that being your town.
I know, but they were also very close-minded.
Well, they were very xenophobic. It was like, these people, a lot of that. But a lot of them were white, and they were just like, hey, these people are fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
They were driving around flashing lights in their houses.
It didn't matter what color they were when they all dressed in... It was tribalism is what it was, and ultimately, most of it all comes down to tribalism.
When they would walk around dancing, laughing, skipping, it was, like, bizarre.
But we're ingrained to not, to, like, when they all dressed separately in a one uniform attire, they automatically set themselves up for failure with these townspeople.
Yeah.
Because they made themselves different, and every tight-knit community has tribalism, and they're definitely going to fucking attack.
When a lot of the people were religious, so as soon as they're like, oh, we believe in this, we're just fucking, wherever, like, they weren't going to jump on board.
By the way, also another genius move by the Bhagwan, making, like, fucking is like a form of worship. Phenomenal move.
Well, it was pretty much like the main thing.
Yeah, it was like sexual, expressing yourself sexually.
It was weird, though.
Getting in touch with like yourself and your feelings and everything through fucking.
Towards the end, they're like, they claim like, oh, the Bhagwan, he was against religion. You're like, wait, what? The whole time he said he was starting a religion, but then he like changed his tune. That's when he said
he was a chameleon to whatever he needed to shape
and would and get money.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, I'm not the Bhagwan. I'm gonna be Osho,
dude. If that guy that evangelist that wants the $54 million jet, if he can somehow incorporate
fucking,
but
they
into
never
that,
will.
Oh God, it would be through the roof.
But then nobody would
through the roof.
He would lose all the people he has.
Yeah, but he might gain a whole new group.
There is an opening for a televangelist who embraces fucking.
Dude, you see, there's some other televangelist. One of these big guys, one of the big dudes. He just left the televangelist game because his fucking wife's makeup line is like huge now.
He's
gonna run that business, and he claims it's all part of God's plan and all this shit. I was like, you guys are a bunch of fucking assholes.
I just saw somebody online suggested Max suggested that Tate Fletcher should be our security if we head to Skankfest.
I don't think Tate Fletcher's gonna be in town. Also, don't know him well enough to be like, hey.
Jason Ellis just said, don't throw anything at the bus because of Luis J. Gomez has announced a press conference between you and him at Skankfest.
Yeah, we'll see.
Will there be dollies? Will there not be dollies?
I mean, I don't understand what's going to happen here. I mean, I'm going in just to talk shop, and I'm not looking to start any problems.
Yeah, he may want to bring...
does he want to fight me there?
It seems like he's getting aggressive. What's the animal that can kill snakes?
Mongoose.
Yeah, you may want to bring
I got a mongoose in my pants if he wants to suck on it.
You're the Valparaiso mongoose.
That's what I...
Do you think Luis Gomez stole his name from Steve Austin, the Texas rattlesnake? See, he is a wrestling fan.
I 100% guarantee it.
Because he did, I believe he said he was going as Goldust for a Halloween as an adult male.
Oh, okay.
So I think he may have stolen his moniker from Stone Cold.
I mean, my moniker is Ryan O'Neill, the ass kicker at yahoo.com. O'Neill.
That's a long name, but it gets your brand out there.
Yeah.
And the people watching can email you.
It's the nickname.
Somebody suggested, who did they say they wanted someone to? Oh, they said Wheeler Walker Jr. maybe sing you out to the ring. I don't know if he'll be in Vegas.
Again, I don't know any of these people.
Yeah, that's
the problem. I know of him, but I have never met him.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But you never know. Never
well, we'll see who's out. Well, whoever's out there might have to have somebody. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe what glove? Like, are you guys both using the same equipment? Gloves and shit?
I'm assuming. A lot of things need to be ironed out.
Do you have to wear a cup, I would imagine?
Oh, of course.
Is it like a mouth guard? Like, this is like, there's rules that you have to follow?
I mean, it's MMA rules, except I think there's no ground and pound, and I think there's no elbows or knees to the head.
Okay. So it's like jiu-jitsu on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you can wrestle jiu-jitsu.
But you can't punch on the ground.
I mean, this is what we had talked about. Who
are
knows
there knees to the face on the feet?
Nah, we had talked about
no knees.
Because, I mean, it's a good way to lose a nose.
Good fight last night. A guy took a fucking mean, I think it was a knee to the liver. Guy went, he was out.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, yeah, Jake Ellenberg, or Ben Saunders gave him a fucking great knee.
Yeah, it was him, right to the gut.
Just liver shot, Boss Rutten style.
Yeah, that they say that paralyzes somebody.
Yeah, it shuts your body down.
I heard Gomez is a huge liver. So.
Yeah, it's a real, real fatty liver.
Yeah, so you may want to attack it. He's called the Puerto Rican foie gras. This is his nickname.
I mean, look, my goal is to go in there and you know, try to murder him.
Become the podcast.
Legitimately kill, be the first guy to kill a guy in a... And Ellis Mania.
Save it for the press conference. Save it for the press conference.
I don't even like talking shit, really. But I just like to go in there with a good attitude and see what happens.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. All right. Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy your week. Wade, stay safe on those roads, man. Be careful.
Yeah. Let's hope you don't have any other incidents.
Yeah. Careful with your medicine balls and... if you're on a flight with deaf people, you don't know what's going to happen.
If you see a Great Dane, make sure you don't punch it in the face or a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Either way.
Stay clean with that. All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves.
Shot. Shoot, you shoot to kill.
Yeah.